Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive. And the world, I'll turn it inside out. Yeah. I'm floating around in ecstasy, so don't stop.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first ever One Seat Buffer podcast. This is Tony Tone, along with Joe Krausauer and Travis. I don't even know if Travis is his last name.
Gatel.
I didn't know that until right now. Travis is the boss here at the Palms 10 Movie Theater. I really didn't know your last name. That's embarrassing.
It's all right. I don't give it out a lot.
Sorry, I'm just Travis. He didn't say mine right.
So that's don't right. Don't worry about it. All right, we just saw Game Night, which, if you are looking for something to see, I totally recommend you check it out. This movie was fantastic. It's also number two at the box office. I'm the kind of guy that, and we're recording this on Sunday, I'm the kind of person that checks out the box office numbers. I don't know if you guys do that. Do you ever check out box office numbers?
So I check out the box office numbers specifically for here, and occasionally I'll look at like a couple of our like sister theaters or whatever, but I don't ever really look at box numbers as a whole, because it always is disappointing.
So you didn't know that Game Night brought in $21 million.
I did not.
That's not bad.
That's really good.
So this was a rated R comedy, and they've become, I'm assuming it was rated R, right?
Yeah.
Was it rated R?
Yeah.
Judging by some of the language.
Right.
And blood? Yeah. I wasn't expecting, like, this is like a date movie. And
I was going to say, we should probably also mention that there's going to be spoilers in this podcast.
A little bit.
Because by the time you're listening to this, you've made the decision to either see it or not. Safe to assume, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to give it all away, but this is a movie that's rated R for a reason. It's Jason Bateman, Rachel McAdams, and it just, from the jump, you could tell that it was going to be very Jason Bateman-y. I think we can agree, right?
And have we seen an actor have such a renaissance career-wise than Jason Bateman? Like, when we were kids, you know, mm-hmm. we're all, I mean, you're a little bit younger than us, but when Tony and I were kids, I mean, Teen Wolf 2 was Jason Bateman, and that's pretty much what he was best known for. I mean, he was that, and he was Justine Bateman's little brother. Like, you know, if you, those of us who watched Family Ties, uh-huh. like, that's how you know, you knew who Jason Bateman was. And then Arrested Development, and now he's just boomed into this huge, you know, he's almost like a romantic comedy star. Like, you know, you think about Horrible Bosses, you think about that. He's become this kind of everyman, middle class icon, and this movie is just another great example. It's funny, but there's some moments where you're just like, man, I can totally relate to that dude.
And he's producing, which I think is nice. I was waiting in the credits, and you should absolutely stay for the credits of Game Night, because it's very fun what they do. But I didn't see him as a writer. I saw him as a producer. So when I say it was very Jason Bateman-y, I mean that in a good way. Like, Travis, there were some dry moments in that movie, right?
Yeah. There was dry moments, but it was hilarious.
They let some of those scenes breathe.
Oh, I don't want to spoil this scene because I want people to enjoy it as much as I did. But there is a neighbor character in this, and we'll talk a little bit more about this guy later, but there is a scene where he exits the scene in one of the funniest comedic bits that I have seen in a long, long time. The way that they're able to make this funny without any sound going on the screen was so great. And that's the kind of comedy that I get really drawn into. And this guy stole every scene almost that he was in.
So it's like a couple that's in their, I would say, mid to late 30s.
Yeah, they're 34, 35.
Yeah, so it's Jason Bateman, Rachel McAdams. They sort of meet at a trivia night, and they fast forward a little bit. They're married, and then they're hosting all these game nights at their house with their friends, and their friends are really good, some familiar face actors and actresses, and it goes from them playing host to enter Kyle Chandler, the actor who plays Jason Bateman's brother, who would be a little bit of an antagonist for Bateman's character, if I may. Yeah. So he shows up, and he's got this idea to take Game Night to this house that he's renting, and he's sort of built up to be this rich, successful guy. And then it goes a little bit. And again, I guess I said it was going to be a spoiler podcast, but I almost don't want to give it away right. because then game night goes in a different direction.
Well, and they give some of this away in the trailer. Right. Like, it's clear that it doesn't go the murder mystery like as planned. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Chandler, who we've seen him in Argo and Friday Night Lights, the TV show, you know, he's that face that you're like, oh, I know that guy. Yeah. And we there's a couple of people in this movie that are like that. And he's great at that character. And he and Jason Bateman actually look like brothers. Like, that's really well casted. Like, they look like they're of the same, you know, genetic lineage. So it works out really well. And I will watch any movie that has Rachel McAdams in it. Like,
truth.
Yeah, I mean, I got through The Notebook all those years ago. That was her, right?
Yeah. Okay. Don't act like you don't know. Tony just watched that last weekend.
That was her in The Notebook.
This is Valentine's Day go-to.
I have to say, did you think, because I thought when this started and the one friend shows up and he's like the younger friend that is dating a bunch of different women, I thought it was Zac Efron at first. Did you guys think that?
No. And only because really? I just saw that guy in a movie.
Sure, because when they're hosting game night, they don't want their neighbor to find out. Jesse Plemons, who plays their neighbor, he's a cop, and they told their friends to like sneak into their house, so they literally come like crawling through the window. And I was like, Zac Efron's in this? But so it was like,
it's Billy Magnuson is his name.
Billy Magnuson, most and, likely to look like Zac Efron,
right? In a movie, I'll out myself how I know him.
Yeah.
He plays Rapunzel's prince into the woods vehicle
of
musical
course.
From a few years ago, with Anna Kendrick and Billy Corbin or Billy Corbin, James Corden.
Sure,
I confused James Corden and Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
Just there, so that just shows
they're
why.
Almost the same thing.
Having just watched Grey Showman, I know for a fact that wasn't Zac Efron because you know, fresh in my memory.
So okay, one of the things that we talked about when this was getting over was the directors. Jill said, "Do you know who directed it?" One of the guys. So it's two directors. One of them is Jonathan M. Goldstein, and that name might not sound familiar, but he directed Vacation. But he also wrote or co-wrote Spider-Man: Homecoming, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, and Horrible Bosses. So there is sort of that, you know, that connection to Jason Bateman. But how about the fact that the guy is one of the writers on Spider-Man Homecoming, because this game night movie is out there. This premise is, you know, it's a R comedy. There's action. There's some gore, I guess. Not really, again.
I mean, there's
you know.
Just a couple gunshot wounds. It's not,
right.
It's nothing crazy. And they managed to make a through and through gunshot wound a hilarious right. bit in the movie, too. And I think that shows a lot of writing talent. You know, I spent, as a kid, all I wanted to do was be a writer on Saturday Night Live mm-hmm. or a writer for comedic movies. And so I'm this nerd who I try to think about stuff like that. And I just watch movies like that, and I'm just jealous at how they're able to weave, you know, humor into mm-hmm. what would easily be the scariest thing that I've ever gone through in my entire life. Like, there's a really cool husband and wife dynamic in this whole movie, too.
I thought so. And again, I'm so not to one-up your nerddom, but I like cinematographers, how movies are shot and painted and put together, and I just cheated. I'm looking at Box Office Mojo. Barry Peterson, the cinematographer for Game Night, also did 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street, The Watch, We're the Millers, Central Intelligence. So again, this is a guy.
He can frame comedy.
Yes, he can. Yes, and you think about We're the Millers, which was that an R comedy as well? It almost had to have been with some of those lines.
The Pictionary scene right. below.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, you get these right group of people together, and I could see some people going to game night and maybe not fully grasping that sense of humor. I don't want to say that it's not for everybody, because it is a very funny, well-done movie. But some of this humor, guys,
I think you got to
appreciate that dry. You got to appreciate a good scene, right?
And I think Travis will appreciate this, too, because he sees all these folks coming through in his job as the manager of the Palms 10. He sees probably guys who get drugged to romantic comedies or date night movies. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, she wants to go see this Rachel McAdams movie. This is one that you can get excited to go see.
Right.
Because it's got that rom-com kind of feel to it, but it also kind of has a – it has a little bit like a Lethal Weapon kind of feel to it, too. There's some yes. moments where it's like you have that dry, you know, Murtaugh, I'm too old for this. It's a podcast. I can say it, can't I?
I mean, you can or cannot okay. swear. If you swear in the podcast, we'll have that explicit thing.
We'll have
on.
To put a disclaimer. But,
so I say,
but it has those moments of, you know, of really like guy dude comedy. But then also those moments where you're like, being, oh, this is romantic. This is cool. Like this is a real life situation that this couple is going through. And I think that's the thing. You mentioned some of the friends, Lamorne Davis, who plays Winston on New Girl, who plays one of the friends.
That's right.
And so he is great. There's that there's that relationship battle that's going on. I really don't want to spoil that one because that one's hysterical. That one shows why you don't play drinking games with your friends.
Right.
and it is how they kind of weave those different relationships. Mm-hmm. The new budding relationship, like you mentioned, with this Billy Magnuson character, and how that all weaves together, mm-hmm. too. So these guys really understand how to make a guy who doesn't necessarily want to go through a romantic comedy laugh, and it also they did a good job of making it accessible for even like the gunfighting scenes,
right,
weren't so over the top that your day is going to be like.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure if you were paying attention to the people as they were leaving, but the majority of the people as they were leaving kind of said the same thing we did. We liked it a lot more than we thought we were.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you were listening to them, we were not the only ones who said that.
Right, and we weren't the only ones laughing either, and that was nice. So, again, Travis is the boss of the Palms 10 Movie Theater in Muscatine, Iowa. That's where we're at. You know, Black Panther has made $700 million in less than 2 weeks, or just about 2 weeks. People have been coming out to game night, though, it seems. Like, we saw it at 7:20 on a Sunday, and there were almost maybe a dozen or so folks, I was surprised. Is that kind of how the trend was for you for the opening?
Yeah, for the most part. The one thing it's an R-rated movie, so
right.
We end up having to turn away a lot of people who want to watch it because, I mean, they're 17 or they're 16, they're 15, they can't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
We end up turning a lot of people away for that reason, but there was definitely a large number of people who came out for that movie this weekend, and it was great to see that come out for an R-rated comedy because R-rated movies typically kind of do worse than you expect them to do.
Unless they're called Deadpool, right? and then they make a ton of money.
Except for Deadpool.
And that movie, again, the previews for it look so good. I want to give a shout-out to our mutual friend Ben Nitzel, who loves going to movies, and he kind of hit it on the head with Game Night. He said, could it have had a preview or a trailer that left you more confused? Like, when I first saw a preview for Game Night, I was like, I don't know what this is. Is this an action movie? Because I also just got done not too long ago watching Jason Bateman on Ozark.
Right.
Right? So I thought maybe he's just going to go drama now. And I don't know what this is. And also the name of the movie, it made me think of one of the all-time most underrated movies that the title and the trailers kind of just set itself up for failure. And that movie's called Sex Drive. And if you haven't
seen
it.
Oh, that's an amazing movie.
Sex Drive is great. You should absolutely
see it.
It's very funny, and it stars, well, a couple of people, but it has, what's his name? The guy that played Michael Cudlitz, I should know it, who played Abraham on The Walking Dead. He was in it. He was the older brother, and I, over the course of my time on radio, I got to interview Michael Cudlitz. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you could have seen the previews for Game Night and thought, I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
What is this supposed to be?
And a lot of people are asking that exact question when they're coming in. They're like, what is Game Night? And people have thought it was going to be like a similar movie to Ready Player One, not even close.
Which I can't wait for that, by the way. That's what, next month?
But you're right. I mean, look at the poster, right? The poster are three pieces of the game Sorry, right? And one of them has a ski mask, and then one's tipped over, and there's some blood on it. So you don't know what to expect, and that's probably why you see it with $16 million domestically. But what I think will happen, gentlemen, is that this movie will have a strong word of mouth, and it'll have a solid week two. Not Black Panther week two, where they did like $110 million, but also
look at what Black Panther spent to make.
Correct.
And to promote. Correct. I think I just looked up. I think Game Night is only in that like $70 million.
$37 million.
$37 million just to make it.
Yeah.
So they made 21 back in the first weekend.
Yeah.
So that's a ridiculous ROI, and a big shout out, I think, to movies like Get Out and Happy Death Day and mm-hmm. the Blumhouse vehicle. I mean, this isn't one of those, but
they've
shown that you can make quality, inexpensive movies. And people will come see them. It's amazing how movies are kind of coming back to that.
Right.
Where obviously the Marvel movies are outstanding, and the DC universe, mm-hmm. they're still ruling the the box office. But this movie had kind of some of those feelings of Happy Death Day, which I loved. You loved it. Did you see it?
I watched like most of it, and you know what? Like, I did not like Happy Death Day.
What?
It just wasn't my style of movie. The animation was great, or not? Yeah. Not Happy. I'm thinking Sausage Party. Happy Death Day, but same thing. Like I.
But what I'm saying,
the fact that they acknowledge in Happy Death Day that it's sort of like the movie Groundhog's Day,
right?
Yeah. I'm also a fan of the low budget, and again, $37 million is a lot. You know, they made Get Out for $4 million. So this is a movie that had some juice behind it, and it doesn't. You know, this is Jason Bateman in 2018. He's going to be able to make a movie for $37 million. And I think he's worth every bit of that. So again, if you're looking for something to see, you got to consider Game Night. Now, certainly, Travis, people are absolutely coming out to see Black Panther. As we're taping this, we're looking at some folks getting concessions because we're in the party room here at the Palms. Black Panther has to just be crushing it locally, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's on a second weekend, and the busy sets, 7 o'clock on Friday, 7 o'clock on Saturday. I was worried we were going to sell out on both of those.
Whoa.
I mean, we didn't end up selling out on either one of them, but the second weekend, any movie time you're looking at it and going, gosh, you know, like I don't know how if we're going to have seats for everybody trying to come into this movie, that's a good second weekend for any movie.
You know, talk about a director who is on his third movie, right, with Black Panther, Ryan Coogler, who goes from, you know, just starting out. The first movie he did was, I can't think of the name of it. I've seen it, and it's Fruitvale Station.
Fruitvale Station, Michael B.
Fruitvale
Jordan.
Fruitvale Station, thank you. Right, so then he does Creed and Black Panther, and this is one of those movies. And I don't know what Ryan wants for his career, but he certainly, after you do Black Panther, he will have offers to do whatever he wants.
Well, and the crazy thing is those three movies that you featured, it's Michael B. Jordan in all three of those. So he's Apollo. He's Creed.
Right.
He gets nominated for an Academy Award, I believe, for Fruitvale Station. So, wow. And he's dynamic in Black Panther. So let's see. Can this guy go out and step out? Are they that good at working together, or is one actor carrying the other? Because Michael B. Jordan killed it on Parenthood in season two as the black boyfriend of the teenage daughter. In the NBC series Parenthood.
He's on Parenthood?
Yeah, he really can. And not to mention, he was in one of the greatest, most underrated movies of all time featuring Keanu Reeves, which is Hardball. Michael B. Jordan is a young, I think, 13-year-old actor.
That's an old call.
That's a terrible deep dive is what that is.
No, but Black Panther was great, and it's so wonderful to see that it's made $704 million in 2 weeks. And it's such a cultural... It's of such cultural significance. And if you watch it, you know, there's some people that are going to go see it because it's a Marvel movie. And there's some people that are going to see it because it's not that often that 95% of a cast of a movie that has a probably $250 million budget are all African-American actors and actresses. So for young African-American children, this is one of those moments where they're seeing representation, right? Because most of the time you go to a Marvel movie or a DC movie, and certainly there's diversity, but when else can you go to a movie like Black Panther? I mean, everybody top, and not to mention that they're just phenomenal actors and actresses. Like, I'm a huge Forest Whitaker fan. So, you know, he's so great in it. And he just has become this, like, what was he in? Was he in Rogue One?
He's in Rogue One.
Right. So he just has
It's almost like ever since Last King of Scotland, he's kind of become this like outlandish character act. And I don't mean that negatively.
No,
like he's able to – he can push extremes so well. Then even guys like Winston Duke, who played M'Baku, who, you know, is this – he's playing this big, beastly, you know, male lead of one of the tribes in the Black Panther story. But here's a guy, he's a Yale-trained actor. Like, wow. I mean, he's got this amazing pedigree.
Yeah.
And a lot of the – what he said something – I was listening to an interview with him earlier this week. He said one of the things that's really unique about this movie isn't just the cast. It's how it's being embraced by a community. Mm-hmm. This movie is being gifted, you know, to entire communities. Like, Rajon Rondo of the I don't know who he plays for now, but he's in the he's an NBA player.
Sure.
He in his hometown of Louisville, mm-hmm. he had an essay contest where kids could submit an essay for Black History Month where they had to write about a figure that wasn't an already well-known prominent African-American figure. Okay. We have one of those figures in our own community at Muscatine in Alexander Clark. They had to write this essay, mm-hmm. and if they met a certain standard on the essay, he paid, I think, for almost 600 kids
wow.
to go see Black Panther, you know, on their own. So, I mean, this is it's being used as a vehicle mm-hmm. to really promote education as well, which I think is so important. And I didn't – the thing I liked about it is I didn't feel it was overly political. There sure. were some clear undertones, but they weren't so prevalent that they lost the comic bookness, if you will. Right. It still felt like just a really good standalone comic book action movie, but it had the right amount of political undertones.
And it just looked really good. It was yeah. so well put together.
And it's really personal for me, too, this whole conversation, because my niece and nephews are African-American, mm-hmm. and they're like 4, 5, and 6 right now. And just seeing the movie poster has made such an impact in their life. They just saw the movie poster, mm-hmm. and just seeing a full a poster that just is entirely full of African-Americans mm-hmm. and Africans, it's just... It just had such an impact on them. That's all my oldest nephew has been talking about for about 2 weeks since he saw the poster. He hasn't even seen the movie yet.
Wow. Yeah, so. I saw something on Facebook, and it was, you know, somebody had screenshotted or whatever, and they said they were with, like, their niece at the movie, and she said, I didn't even know women could be generals, because, you know, Chadwick Boseman, who plays Black Panther, he's surrounded by, you know, just strong women. One of them is Danai, I think is how you say her name. She plays Michonne on The Walking Dead, and she's just a BA. She's a badass in the movie, and I'm telling you what, if you haven't seen Black Panther, you owe it to yourself. And, of course, it's a Marvel movie, so don't get up when it ends.
Right. Stay till the very end. Not only till you see the first scene, but until you see the curtains come down, the lights go up, stay till the end.
When you see Travis and the crew walk in and start, like, checking for, like, trash or make sure that nobody's sleeping or anything, that's when you can leave.
Oh no, don't even do that, because we have to we never have enough time between Marvel movies because they want to fit as many of those in. So we're waiting for you guys to leave. If we're not in your way, there's still probably more going on.
I'm telling you, this is one of those things, like, consider this a one seat buffer podcast lesson. If you're going to a Marvel movie, you have to be prepared for the mid-credit scene, and there is one for Black Panther. And at this point, I'm not going to spoil it, but it's very in the same vein as how Iron Man ended, when Tony Stark sort of addressed, you know, a crowd, and that's sort of what Chadwick Boseman as the Black Panther does. He's addressing, I believe, the United Nations, perhaps. And then the post-credit scene is great, and it just, you know, again, we're setting up for the Infinity War.
Coming out, what, is it June?
May?
July?
I think it's Memorial Day weekend. I think it's a Memorial Day weekend movie.
We should know that.
It's almost like we should have computers and internet.
That's
at
all
our
right,
fingertips.
But listen.
It is definitely May.
That is the biggest movie. It probably cost $1 billion to make, and we will talk more about that as it gets closer. I do want to mention we are taping the One Seat Buffer podcast in the party room at the Palms 10 Movie Theater. Coming out on Thursday, March 1st, which I can't believe March is almost here, you can see Jennifer Lawrence in Red Sparrow, which is rated R. It looks kind of creepy. I saw a preview for it the other day. I actually watched it. I like Jennifer Lawrence a lot. I did not see, was it Mother? Where she sort of plays Mother Earth.
Yeah,
I didn't see that one. Darren Aronofsky was the director, who also did Black Swan. But I do like Jennifer Lawrence, and I think she's choosing interesting roles for herself. So if that's something you want to see, you can see it here.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to do this pod, you know, at least twice a month, I think, if not more. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things is I love that hopefully you're listening and you don't need us to explain One Seat Buffer, but I have to give a big shout out to the both of you guys on my right and left for leaving that One Seat Buffer in the row today. We didn't have to buddy up in the theater as we went and saw Game Night. But one thing I was just going to say is I got that date for Infinity Wars, and it's brilliant marketing. Star Wars Day, May 4th.
It is May 4th.
May 4th.
It's so great. Yeah, so that'll be here even before. Wow, I'm so excited.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot closer because that's my son's birthday too.
The most disappointing part, the most disappointing thing about that is that the movie Solo is coming out here in like the next few months, like right around the same time.
Right.
And Solo is not coming out on May 4th, but Infinity War is.
Let's talk about. We're gonna have to get Nitz on when we get closer to Solo, because I don't know anyone who cares about Star Wars more than our friend Ben Nitzel.
He loves it,
and I want to hear his opinion on that, because it's going to be interesting to see. I saw the trailer for the first time during the Super Bowl, and I'm intrigued. I have no idea. I don't pay attention to some of that Star Wars stuff. I enjoy them all. Sure. I didn't know that they were going to start doing these other vehicles that came out. But one thing that we like to do, we want to start doing on this podcast, you mentioned it as we sat in, and I think we should get back to game night a little bit,
sure,
is that I know that guy, actor,
right,
who's in every movie.
Yeah, or actress.
Or actress, yeah.
Yes.
I use actor not as a – there's no gender with an actor. I went to college in the arts building. You know, I was a music major. I know the theater and the acting majors. They're all actors. There are no actors and actresses. They're just actors. But this one, you had a great call on this one. Who's your call for the actor that's in everything?
That guy or that girl is Jesse Plemons, who is the neighbor. He plays police officer, lives next to Jason Bateman.
Gary Kingsbury.
His name. So we just saw Jesse Plemons as part of the great ensemble for The Post, which is Tom Hanks.
Did you see The Post, Travis?
I did not get a chance to see The Post.
Don't feel bad. The Post is like... That's like the most grown-up movie I've seen. Like, I felt every bit of 34 years old. Like, I think I got more gray hair watching The Post.
But I don't know.
It's so good that it made me feel old. But that's just that there's like a perfect audience. And I'm not saying that had a niche audience, but I mean, there's a lot of people that went to that and thought, I remember when that happened. I remember those, you know, that process with those guys and those girls. It was a great movie. Don't get me wrong. But I felt like this is designed for old people, and then I realized I'm kind of an old person.
And if you haven't seen The Post, I know it's not currently showing here. I'm going to say it's one of my favorite movies I've seen in the last couple of years.
Wow.
But I also have that emotional attachment to the newspaper, having been the initial creative director of the Voice of Muscatine newspaper. Mm-hmm. And having – believe me, we weren't publishing the Pentagon Papers, for the FBI. We weren't leaked any FBI information, but we had to make decisions on what do we run, sure, what don't we run, you know, with the whole mayoral situation that went on in Muscatine the last couple of years. Believe it or not, we sat in a newsroom and our team had to decide, is this the right angle to take on the story? What is the right angle to take on the story? How do we publish this? You know, we had an interview, an audio clip, that ended up being included in the indictment against, we had a reporter who the mayor threatened to sue her for federal wiretapping, like things. So there's all sorts of stuff that goes on in that.
Some parallels. And
so that's where I watched that movie, and I just fell in love with that. No matter how big or small your publication, you have to. And the thing is, we talked about it during that movie. At that point in time, the Washington Post was not a prominent newspaper. Right. It was the Boston Globe and the New York Times.
Yeah.
And the Washington Post was viewed at the same caliber as like the Des Moines Register or the Cedar Rapids Gazette.
And they dealt with some sexism with Meryl Streep's character owning it and how she became the owner. But yeah, that you should see that when you can. It's nominated for some awards.
Jesse Plemons is great in that, because he plays that lawyer who comes in and like he's totally deer in the headlights.
And I had the moment when we were watching The Post, I'm like, that's the guy that I just saw in an episode of Black Mirror that my wife made me watch. And I hadn't seen – have you seen any of those, Travis?
I haven't seen any of those either. I don't have time to watch a lot of TV.
Yeah, they're so weird. And this was like a feature-length Black Mirror on Netflix, and it was I don't want to get into it, but Jesse Plemons, congratulations, you were the first. I know that guy or girl,
and I think
he did great.
For me, I think the other one in this movie, and he has a short role in it, but it turns out to be an important one, and maybe it's just because I'm rewatching Dexter right now on Netflix. Is Michael C. Hall pops up there, and the minute you hear that voice, if you've ever watched Dexter, you immediately think of that.
He's Dexter,
and it's great casting for him to come in the role that he comes in at.
Yeah, I could have a podcast called you should stop watching Dexter after season four, period.
That would be
a one episode podcast. That's all you need to know.
And I would concur.
I'm just telling you. But yeah, you should check out Game Night. It is rated R. So Travis, you know, R-rated comedies, again, like you said, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned having to turn people down. It is rated R. So you have to be 17, right? I mean, those are the rules.
Yep. And if you're not 17, then bring a parent with you to the movie and we will let you watch it. But they have to be with you through the entire duration of the movie. That's a small little detail on there that most people try to avoid. Yeah. Realizing,
but. So it's not like back in 1998 when my mom bought our tickets to see American Pie and then she left. So it's not like that anymore.
But is it South Park the movie? That's the thing that starts the whole movie.
Is that it?
Get the homeless guy to buy them tickets to the Terrence and Phillips movie.
That. Yeah,
and then that starts all the shenanigans in South Park.
I'll never forget trying to go see with my friends growing up Cruel Intentions.
Oh, great!
And getting shot down, and then we went and saw October Sky because it was out.
But October Sky is a solid flick.
Yeah, I mean it's a great movie.
That's Jake Gyllenhaal.
Rockets, but I wanted to watch.
Not quite the same.
We all wanted to see Reese Witherspoon and Short Buffy lived. The Vampire Slayer. I don't even remember her name.
Sarah Michelle
Gellar, maybe? Yes, there it is.
Yeah, well, I think...
Cruel Intentions, underrated soundtrack,
by the way. Oh, gosh, great soundtrack.
Colorblind, Counting Crows.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the soundtrack of the early 2000s.
Some of these movies just have... that could be a whole other episode.
I said that for a reason. This movie, Game Night, outstanding. Yeah. Soundtrack. The opening Queen song.
That was cool.
All the way to the Quando
at the end.
It was. Yeah. I mean, there's brilliant music. It's brilliantly scored. It's an outstanding.
And there are some moments where it looks like. Did you notice that? Where it looked like a set.
It looked like the game pieces.
It looked like game pieces, like the cars, and that all kind of makes sense if you stick with it. And again, don't leave when the credits start. But. Wasn't that really well done?
Yeah, no, the angles that they shot things at, really, I mean, they made sure everything about it was just, they got the right angle to give you the impression that you were in the game.
Yeah.
And as far as the soundtrack goes, I didn't really notice the soundtrack, which is weird because I'm a music person, so I normally notice the soundtrack.
Well, the score was intense. I mean, it was almost like a thriller. There's like some of these underlying, like...
Yeah, it was almost Trent Reznor, like some of the... Some of the things that you hear in like the
That's what
David
I'm saying.
Fincher
like,
film.
This is not just like a slapstick throwaway comedy movie. This is a well thought out, and there are some twists. Spoiler alert!
But the best part is they make some jokes about the twists too.
Right.
They joke about Taken 3 at the end, which just
I gotta be honest. I did not see Taken 3. I gave up after Taken 2, which should have just been called.
And there's
Took
one
or
there,
whatever. Right. Still Tooken.
There was one moment that almost felt Jigsaw like, you know, almost in the Saw type movies.
Yeah.
Not gore. I'm talking about just the way they kind of revealed some of the elements. Felt very Saw like, I thought.
Yeah, I would say this was a pleasant surprise for sure. And, you know, there's a lot of good movies out. So the fact that we just saw some folks leaving, having seen a Jumanji, which I believe made $1 billion, guys. Jumanji.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
That's the first blockbuster in a while.
I know. And it's not the same thing, obviously.
Will Rampage do as well?
I don't think Rampage. I was going to say, you know, Jumanji's success makes me feel like I did when Jurassic World came out.
There were
100 people in this theater when that opened on a Thursday.
Is it Kevin Hart?
No. It's because it's The Rock. It's Kevin Hart and it is Jack Black. Three hilarious comedians all together in one film. And let's be honest, you cannot, with Jumanji, you cannot miss the chance to see Jack Black trying to play a teenage girl.
That's a good point.
Which we've missed that. I want to see it. It just hasn't fit our schedule yet.
It's just one of those movies that I'll be the first to admit it, when I saw the first preview, I thought, okay, maybe. And then I was sort of out. I thought, this probably isn't going to be for me. I like The Rock. I like Kevin Hart. They're not my favorite. But
you're
my
being
gosh.
Too nice with your Kevin Hart affinity.
Yeah, I'm not a big Kevin Hart fan. You know, I want to be more of a Kevin Hart fan, but he just doesn't do it for me. But I'm glad that it's been successful because I do like The Rock. It's hard to not like a guy that just seems and it happens all the time on social media where somebody will see The Rock and they'll like drive up to him and he's just cool. You know?
Yeah.
That's all you want when you see somebody like that, right? You just want them to be a normal person.
Yeah.
Whether it's Jason Bateman or The Rock or Rachel McAdams, I kind of felt like a tool for a moment when we were watching Date Night. And all of a sudden, Danny Houston is in the movie, who is Angelica Houston's brother. He was one of the bad guys in Wonder Woman. And I had a phone interview with him a couple months ago, maybe a year ago or whatever. And I was like, I talked to that guy.
We're just used to going to movies with the infamous.
And he was awesome.
Yeah, and that's the thing is you've had opportunities to interview some of these people in your former positions, you know, yes. In radio. I've been able to do some of that in my mm-hmm. positions in radio. And it's one of those things where you realize, like, I remember my interview with Alan Alda. Like, he was genuinely interested to talk to some dude in Muscatine, Iowa.
Right.
Like, he was genuinely interested in that. And these guys, a lot of these people are totally comfortable with that. I watched on Netflix today the Emoji Movie, which I thought I was going to hate. But it was actually pretty good. And T.J. Miller, you know, you sit there and we have a common friend. He and Mike Bridenstine are buddies. So, I mean, these guys, they know who they are or what they know the Midwest very well.
Totally.
They're very comfortable with it. And that's why they're so appealing on stage or on film, too, because mm-hmm. they're communicating. They're hitting that seat, you know, in Muscatine, Iowa at the Palms 10 Theater.
It is really nice, you know, to see a movie like Date Night. Or Game Night, not Date Night. Date Night was a Tina Fey movie.
Which was solid.
That was the first thing that I Googled at the end. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought that had a better Rotten Tomatoes score. Typed in Game Night. But yeah, no, it is nice to see a movie like Game Night in a world full of giant blockbusters.
Right.
And Black Panther, as much as it was a very good movie, it's a giant blockbuster that's made almost $1 billion. And, you know, Game Night is not that. It's an R-rated comedy. So it's already setting itself up to have a smaller audience because you got to be 17 years old.
Well, and too, and I know there are people who, for one reason or another, I'm comfortable with profanity. It doesn't mm-hmm. bother me. And other folks, that's just not their cup of tea. So if that's you, this is not your movie.
Right.
It's rated R for the violence. It's not rated R for the violence. It's rated R for the language.
Sure.
And it's not Good Will Hunting, where, you know, there's 15 F words in the first act of the movie. It's a solid movie with some harsh language. And again, I walked out and I said to myself, I would see this again, and I'd bring my wife. Mm. Like, I think it's a decent date movie if both of you are comfortable with some of that language.
Right. You have to have – that's sort of how – and I felt – and it's not the same, but – and Jason Bateman is in it. However, I did feel like – was he in Office Christmas Party? Yeah. He was in that, right? Okay. So that's what I felt like going into this movie was, I wonder if it's going to be like Office Christmas Party, which I saw, loved it, saw it again with my wife. She thought it was funny. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think this is a movie the trailers did not represent it well. And you owe it to yourself to come check it out if you want to have a good laugh. But please understand that it's rated R for a reason. I like to say that because I wouldn't feel comfortable bringing a 5-year-old, which I have in my house, let alone a maybe even, I don't know, 10-year-old.
No.
And I know that it's different. Like, parents will say, well, my kid has seen whatever. But there's some parts of it that just don't. Right?
Right. Travis, yeah. We're just, I mean.
And it was nice, by the way, Travis watched the movie with us, which was pretty cool. Because again, you work, your job is to be here. Wasn't it nice to just watch a movie?
You know, that's the first time that I've like just sat down and watched a movie, like during normal business hours where there's actually people in there in a long time. And it was one of the most refreshing things I have done in ages.
There's something about seeing a movie like that with people that are laughing when you're laughing. And gasping when you're like, oh, I can't believe that happened. And that's what we're going to experience because there's a lot of movies coming down the pike that are going to do that. Infinity War, you might not be able to have the one seat buffer, which is the open seat between you and a friend. You're going to be packed in there like sardines, especially if you come to the Palms on a Thursday night or even a Friday night, right? I mean, it's going to be busy.
You come Thursday night, you come Friday night, you come Saturday night. Like those nights, like if those are the nights that you can come, just be prepared. There's not going to be a one-seat buffer for you and even probably the group next to you. Not just your friend, but the group next to you.
Those are the kind of movies that you run the risk of having to be in that like first four rows where you have to, and I'm doing it right now, you have to tilt your head back.
The worst. I saw Elf in the front row when I was in college.
I can't do it.
It was probably the second movie that my wife and I went and saw.
I heard a wonderful description for those. They call them the nosebleed seats because you hold your head back like you have a nosebleed.
Normally, that's great.
Normally the nosebleed seats are in the back, but at the theater, the nosebleed seats are in the front.
That you could willingly sit in the nosebleed seat for. But wow, that's a great call. Yeah, so there's some big movies to come, and we're definitely going to talk all about them on the One Seat Buffer podcast. I would say my personal thoughts, Game Night, worth your time to check out. Same thing with Black Panther, and I'm curious about Red Sparrow, which comes out on Thursday.
So I think we have to create a rating system, because all great movie podcasts have some sort of a rating system.
Sure.
And so I think our rating system is would you sit shoulder to shoulder? So would you go without the buffer to see Game Night?
I would say yes. I would, because it made me feel, and again, the cinematographer did 21 and 22 Jump Street, and those are two movies that were packed here at the Palms, and I had no one-seat buffer, and I think Ben Nitzel was right next to me, and Ben and I are, well, you know, we're not small people. So, yeah, I would say I would break down the buffer to see Game Night.
For me, I would also say that I would break the one seat buffer to see Game Night. It was one of the better movies I've seen in quite a while.
I'm gonna say yes and no. Yes, but it'd have to be like my wife, or if I was not married, a date.
Gotcha.
Like, I liked it, but I'm not sure that I'm willing to go shoulder to shoulder with my good friend Tony Tone and my friend Travis.
Yeah.
For this particular movie, but I would go shoulder to shoulder with my beautiful wife of 12 years.
I will put an addendum to mine on. I would go shoulder to shoulder with a friend.
Sure.
But probably, like, if I had to sit shoulder to shoulder with, like, all the other groups, like, if I was a single person going
into airplane
that
movie, mode.
Yeah, I would not sit in the middle seat for an airplane on this one.
Yeah, it's always tough because then you don't know, like, which cup holder is yours. And for my icy, that would have been very distracting.
You had cherry icy today.
It was really good. Yeah, and this is for the, by the way, one seat buffer first. I did not get the pretzel combo.
Yeah.
I was surprised myself. I saw the icy. It was nice out today. Again, we're recording this on Sunday. What was it, February 25th? It felt like spring. So I was like, oh, I'm going to get an icy.
I just about had them make that pretzel up for you as you were coming in the door.
You know, it's so good. We walk in and it's like Norm from Cheers. They're just like, they're already pulling it.
Yeah, I agree. The pretzel, it's great. And if you haven't come to see a movie at the Palms, I don't know what your deal is, but the concessions are more than just popcorn. Now, certainly you have that. But, I mean, the fact that you guys have, like, donuts, we'll talk more about that.
I had the very first box
in
Palms 10 history of Dots. Travis, I've been giving him a hard time for a couple years or long, as long as he's
like
been here.
Eight months.
8 months. it was your predecessor, Chris, I was giving a hard time too. Well, we need Dots, because that's my go-to movie candy. And Travis, I got a text this week where he's like, now featured at the Palms 10. He just took a picture of the Dots. And my response was like, I think a yes with like 17 S's and exclamation points at the end. So I was pretty excited. So that's great.
Yeah, I don't even have them on the shelf, but I knew he was coming. So I'm like, you know what? I'll get them on the shelf.
Well, and remember, if they don't sell, you just can run him over to his house because he goes pretty close to the theater. Whether you knew that or not, now you know.
So the other recurring theme I think we should do on this is trailers. There were some good trailers for this. We talked about Deadpool a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and say, let's say, pick one trailer that you were surprised by, and it's a movie you didn't necessarily know about but you really want to see now. For me, that's Blockers. I don't know if that's what they're calling it. The website is Blockers Movie, but I think it's – are they calling it Cock Blockers? Because it was a picture of a rooster.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It was a picture of a rooster and the word Blockers. So I'm not talking Dirty just, Mom, who I know is probably going to listen to this.
It's just – I think it's just Blockers. But
clearly showed a picture of a rooster.
It's definitely implied that it's not just Blockers.
It's about parents trying to stop their kids from doing stupid stuff on prom night.
I tell you what, John Cena, yes, that looks very
And Leslie Mann.
Yeah.
And I think that's her daughter, who's her actual daughter, who's playing her daughter.
That's crazy.
Who is also in the Netflix series Love, which, shout out, season 3 of that starts this week.
I got to see that.
And you got to watch it. I'm a huge fan. And Paul Rust, the writer and star of it, is a Lamar's, Iowa guy. He's a University of Iowa graduate. I've known him since we were in college. Mm-hmm. And it's just watching this guy. He wrote the Pee Wee Herman Netflix movie. Like, he's our age, and he's Judd Apatow's, like, go-to guy. So
it's pretty cool.
Big shout-out to that. And Leslie Mann, again, anything she's in is great.
Yeah. So. I was surprised with Ocean's 8, which is the all-female cast doing, you know, it's kind of like Ocean's 11. It's a big heist, and there's a bunch of great actresses. Sandra Bullock seems to be at the helm, and that seems like
Kate Winslet in there, too?
I was surprised at that cast. I mean, it was...
Anne Hathaway?
Right. It was a solid cast. Ocean's 8 coming soon. And then it was just great to see Deadpool again, the sequel to Deadpool trailer.
Has there been a movie that's been better at making creative trailers than Deadpool 2?
The sequel. They're really good at it, and it doesn't surprise me. Travis, do you see any trailers that you liked? I mean...
I see so many of them. I kind of get turned off by the trailers. Like, I can't pick a specific trailer that was like, you know what? That makes me want to see a movie. So
trailers are for Travis what like metal roofs are for me now.
Right.
Like,
it's just going to say it.
It's bagging groceries.
Yeah, it's part of the job. I mean, you're here so much that, you know, the fact that you were able to sit and watch a movie, I think, is pretty cool because it doesn't have – normally you're watching stuff – at midnight when there might be maybe one or two other staff with you. So to have that experience, pretty cool, and I'm glad that you sat in for game night.
Yeah, no, it was nice. I'm glad I did too.
Yeah. All right, One Seat Buffer Podcast. This is the first episode. We actually broke a bottle of champagne on the wall.
Adam, here. If you're listening,
that was a joke.
That was a joke.
This podcast is taped inside the Palms 10 Movie Theater, which is a property of Fridley Theaters. You can go to fridleytheaters.com, pull up Palms 10 for showtimes, see what's coming up, buy tickets early online. It's so easy. You can pick your seat, right?
Yeah. No, with a lot of the showtimes, we have reserved seats every weekend.
It's pretty cool.
So,
and the great thing is, too, is maybe you do that, you can't print them out. You just come in, and when the kiosks are working, I know that sometimes you have them turned off.
It's not that we have them turned off.
I'm trying to save you here.
Technical.
Sometimes they have them turned off, but sometimes they don't. But you just come in.
I've never used the self-service kiosk. Yeah. I'm a people person. I want to talk to people. But by all means, if you want to use it when you get here, that's cool. Otherwise, talk to the staff. They're friendly. You're probably going to know them. And again, even if you're outside of Muscatine, Iowa, you should support your local theater. But I'll say this, if you're in the Quad Cities or Iowa City, come check out the Palms, because to have a theater this nice in a size of town like Muscatine just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's legit. It's still got that new theater smell. I don't know how.
And we're going to have to send a big shout out to Rosie for that. She does a wonderful job taking care of this place.
Yeah. I tell you what, it's great. All right, One Seat Buffer Podcast. The next movie we see, we don't know, but we'll figure it out, and you'll hear from us. In the meanwhile, this is Tony Tone,
Joel Krausar,
and Travis Gadel.
Bye. We'll work out the official
tell
ending.
Tell me, when will you be mine? Tell me quando, quando, quando. We can share a love divine.